anybody else have a song on their heart? All right, if not, let's turn to Psalms chapter 23. Very familiar scripture this evening, but it's one that the Lord has drawn my heart to. Psalms 23. I mean, back whenever I was going to school, I had a teacher. Had him for three grades, actually, for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And he taught us this psalm in public school now. But he taught us this psalm. And it's the first chapter I know that I ever memorized. And it's probably the first chapter that many of you memorized. But he taught us this, and he taught us Psalms 100. And so, I mean, we had some good school teachers then. And I'll tell you what, I still think we probably got some good ones today. Amen? And they need our prayers because they've got a rough road to travel. So you pray for them. But in Psalms 23, if you found that, I'm just going to have you to sit today because I know many of you have worked and many of you are tired. So why don't you just sit and let's read Psalms 23. It said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for being able to be here this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to read your holy word. I pray, dear Lord, this evening, God, you'd please help me as I try to stand and proclaim it. God, I need your guidance. I need your spirit. I need you, Lord, to empty me of myself and fill me with you to where I can empty myself of you here tonight. I pray, God, to please take us and use us in your service. We'll praise you and honor you and glorify you, God, for everything that's done. Because, Lord, without you, nothing is going to be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd like to preach a little bit tonight using emphasis on different words. And the way you emphasize or de-emphasize words many times changes the meaning of the sentence or the chapter. Now, this chapter is one of the most beautiful portions of the Word of God. It's used many times to bring comfort to a dying saint. It's used to bring comfort to the bereaved of the sainted loved one who has already made the crossing. It's used oftentimes to bring help and comfort to one going through struggles and heartaches in this life. Notice David said, "I shall not want." He said, "I shall not want." That means that he, as a lamb looking to the shepherd, shall have need of nothing. The shepherd is going to supply all that the lamb needs. Then, is there anything more pleasant or peaceful in Scripture, thinking that a sheep is lying down in green pastures? Now, a sheep won't lie down if it's hungry. A sheep will not lie down if it's being threatened. The only way a sheep is going to lie down is if he has his stomach full, if he's satisfied in his appetite, and if he's not concerned with his safety. So he lies down knowing that the shepherd is all sufficient to take care of him, all sufficient to protect him, all sufficient to feed him. Here he lies down with sufficient food all around him. He lies down in peace knowing that the shepherd is there to protect him with the rod. Then the shepherd leads the sheep beside the still waters, a pool of water, if you will, from which the sheep may drink. He won't drink from a swiftly moving stream. But he has to be still waters for the sheep to butt his mouth in order for him to drink. He restores or he refreshes one's soul and leads it through or in the paths of righteousness. And I'm glad that he restores us, and I'm glad he leads us in the paths of righteousness. I mean, he won't lead us in the way of wickedness. He won't lead us in the ways of the world. If we let God have his way within us, he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Even though our journey may take us through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us, for he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. His rod, as I said, is used to protect us. His staff is used to lead us and comfort us, and that brings peace to us. He prepares a table and feeds us even before our enemies. Whenever they're on every side, he's still able to feed us. I remember many times folks would attack us as a family, attack me as a preacher, as a missionary, and God continued to bless and lead us in his ways and help us on everything and bless us to where our enemies could sit there and watch us being blessed. Ain't that good? Huh? Now, he anoints us with a cooling balm, which, whenever we're hurting, pictures the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God. He fills our cup to overflowing, which assures us that he has an ample supply of all we need. That right there, he says, my cup runneth over. Back in that time, whenever you would have guests in your house and they'd sit down to eat with you, they would have their cup and you would bring the fruit of the vine, the juice, or you'd bring water and you would fill that cup up. It's overflowing. And that's just to signify that if you finish that, there's more in the kitchen. And folks, today, that's the way God treats us. He lets our cup overflow and we never run out of it because he said, I've still got more. I mean, even though we use the grace of God that he gives us the grace of God to keep us, to save us, to sustain us, to lead us. And then whenever we think it's all gone, he just loads more on us. And that's just what he does. Now, and he goes on, he says, because of all of that goodness and mercy is going to follow and be our companions all our days. And then after this life is over, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How comforting. How much of a blessing is that to us today that know Jesus Christ as our Savior? How much of a blessing to be able to meditate on that and know these words? But I purposely left out the first five words of this chapter. There is none of this possible without the first five words of the chapter. And if these five words are not true in your life, if you cannot say this with a surety tonight, then folks, these other things are non-existent to you. He says in the first five words, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Without the Lord being our shepherd, then none of this other that I've said so far is possible. It's just not going to be there. But I want to look at each word and see tonight what the psalmist is saying. He said, "The Lord." He did not say, "Not my shepherd is a Lord." He said, "The Lord." Brother, my shepherd is not just any other shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm glad to say today, I too can say that he is my shepherd. Brother, we're talking about Jehovah God. We're talking about the maker and the holder of all things today. Notice his greatness. He said in Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Let me read a few verses. Let me start at verse 10. He said, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the scales as a very little things, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him?" You see the greatness of God. He took the earth and measured it out. He took the waters and put it in the span of his hand. He created all that we see. He created the stars and everything in heaven. He created everything that we cannot see. And we say, how great is our God, who is able to compare unto him? None. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 5 and 6, Isaiah says, God says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Brother, he is God. There is none else. There is no Confucius. There is no Muhammad. There is no Allah. There is no other form of a God or man's God, but there is Lord God Jehovah. We see his greatness. We see his glory in Psalms chapter 99 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Brother, he is holy tonight. So how can sinful man ever approach the greatness of God? How can we as sinful human beings ever approach the throne of a holy God? Only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus. There is no other way unto God except through him. We see his greatness. We see his glory. But we see his goodness. You say, where's that, preacher? Over in John 3, chapter 16. Or John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But today I say again tonight, as I said on Sunday night, brother, mankind was born into sin. He was a born sinner. You say, well, preacher, what happens with these little babies they're born? If they're born sinners, what happens to them? If they were to pass away, if they were to die, they're safe in the arms of God, friend, until they reach an age of accountability. And man, no man knows what age that is for each child, but that child is safe. And if it dies, it'll go on to glory, where we'll be able to meet it again one day. But friend, today mankind was born into sin, and God placed us all under the wrath of sin, and the wages of sin is death, and he has placed us all there in order that all may come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen. People say, well, what do I have to do to be lost? Not a thing. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, though, in order to get saved. He said, notice his goodness. He could have let us all die and go to hell. He could have let us all perish. But he sent his beloved Son, his only begotten Son, to us to shed his blood, to die on Calvary, to be buried and to be laid there for 3 days and 3 nights, only to come forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And there sits at the right hand of God the Father tonight, being our intercessor and our mediator. So the Lord, one Lord, the greatness of him, the Lord is. This is an affirmative statement. It is emphatic. He didn't say the Lord may. Didn't say the Lord might. He said the Lord is. So, if he said that, I don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to guess about it. And more importantly, friend, I ain't got to worry about it. Because the Lord is. I can rest in the fact that he is right now in this present time my shepherd. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, if I can find it real quick. There is therefore now, at this present time, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Brother, today I can say emphatically that the Lord right now is my shepherd. Brother, I don't have to wait to see if I'm going to be saved. I don't have to wait to see if I've done enough works. I don't have to wait to see if I've paid enough money. I don't have to wait to see if I've gone and suffered enough for him. All I know is that I put my faith, my trust, my hope, my confidence in the shed blood of the Lamb and trust him for my salvation. So I can emphatically say now the Lord is right now my shepherd. I have an assurance. He said in John 3:36, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Didn't say might have it. Didn't say would have it later on. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Friend, today I'm glad I have an assurance of my salvation. I don't have to worry wonder about it or worry about it. I know there was a time in my early Christian life, friend, that I doubted. And I went through days, I went through weeks and months, brother, doubting my salvation. And I talked to one old preacher, and he said, "Let me ask you something." He said, "Do you love the brethren?" I said, "I love you, brother. I love the brethren. I love to be in church. I love to be in service. I love to be around saved people." And the Bible said, "And you know you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren." There's a light clicked on. That's all it took, just that one light clicked on, and I was ready to go. Friend, today, listen, the Lord is emphatically right now my. That's personal. That's personal. Not only is the Lord a shepherd, he's my shepherd. You know, I can thankfully say tonight that the Lord God is my own shepherd. If you're saved today, you can say he's your shepherd, and you can rejoice in that. You can tell me tonight, you say, "Preacher, the Lord is my shepherd." Man, I can rejoice with you. I can be happy for you. But hey, what gets me excited is to say the Lord's my shepherd. I mean, I know that he's mine. I'm his. I'm glad tonight that we have that assurance, and we can be glad in the fact that we're saved and know we're saved and have a confidence that we're saved by God's grace. David said over in back in Psalm 62, verse number 5, "My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Boy, sounds to me like David pretty well had it nailed down. Sounds to me like David pretty well was satisfied with God, and he was through with everything else. Amen. Isaiah said over in Isaiah chapter 12. Let me turn to there. Isaiah chapter 12. And verse number 2, he said, "Behold, God is my salvation." He said, "I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and also has become my salvation." But today, can we say that? Are you at a surety that you can say that? But now we see the end. Say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, as being my shepherd, as my shepherd, it's up to him to sustain me. As my shepherd, he makes me to lie down. As my shepherd, he leads me beside the still waters. As my shepherd, he restores my soul. As my shepherd, he leads me in the right way to go. As my shepherd, he is with me in the valley and going through. Notice he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Oh, Dave, there was a valley out there outside of Jerusalem that was called the Valley of Death. And people that walked through that valley, people that walked through that roadway, would take literally their own life in their hands. And David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I'll fear not that evil one that comes upon me." But he said, "Though I walk through it," he said, "I'm going to," in other words, Brother Tweed, he said, "I'm going to make it to the other side. I'm going through it. I didn't start this journey to stop it. I didn't start this journey to sit down. I didn't start this journey to turn back. I didn't start this journey to slow down. Brother, I started this journey, brother, to see and go through that valley and go through this life and meet the Lord Jesus at the other end of it." As my shepherd, he leads me in the right ways. He is with me in the valley. As my shepherd, then I'll fear no evil. As my shepherd, I'll know that he is with me. As my shepherd, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. As my shepherd, he prepares a table before me. As my shepherd, he anoints my cuts and my bruises. And friend, if we live for God, there's going to be cuts. There's going to be bruises. The world's going to wound us and batter us and beat us. Oh, but thanks be unto him that has that balm of Gilead sweet to us. As my shepherd, he gives me ample supply of my needs. As my shepherd, I have a home waiting for me in glory that I'm going to dwell with him forever as my shepherd. Now let me ask, is he your shepherd? Sister Krista, would you come to the piano, please? We'll just get you to play something tonight, just softly. But while you think upon this, is he your shepherd? Ask yourself, is he my shepherd? Can you say that? Can you comfort yourself knowing that he is your shepherd? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Without him being your Savior, he is not your shepherd. Is there someone tonight that may need to come and say, yes, Lord, I'll trust you. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Turn to belief in the Lord Jesus. Trust him as your Savior. While we stand tonight, let us pray. Our Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd please take the message and use it for your honor and your glory. God, I pray, Lord, to speak to hearts tonight. God, give us encouragement. We that are your children, God, give us encouragement from these words. But Lord, maybe someone here that is not saved. Someone here, God, that doesn't know you as their personal Savior. God, if these words may bring Holy Ghost conviction. And Lord, get them to think upon their way. And Lord, just sow a seed. Sow a seed. That they may be saved, God, tonight. I pray, Lord, to please take the message, use it for your honor and your glory. While she plays, is there one that needs to come tonight? Anyone needs to come?